the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
In a moment, we're going to be hearing from Mirren McColgan, who is living with cancer at present. But first, Averil Parr, Chief Executive of the Irish Cancer Society. You've done a major report identifying all sorts of gaps in staffing and infrastructure in cancer services provision here in Ireland. I mean, is it a case of where you live having a major impact on when it is you will actually be diagnosed for cancer and start getting treatment?
Sadly, it is, Matt. And I suppose first you decide, as you know, cancer is a disease where time matters. And for many cancers, when they're diagnosed and treated at stage one, your chances of survival can be 80, 90% or more. But by stage four, that could be less than 20%. And that's why the National Cancer Strategy includes target wait times for cancer tests and for cancer treatment. But the data that we've highlighted today, and it's HSE data that we've highlighted today, shows that of the six national target areas that for which we have data, five of those targets were missed at a national level in the period from March 2024 to February 2025. And there are big regional disparities as well. So it's not that any one area is behind on everything. So, for example, the chemo wait times much worse in the West than in the East, but the radiotherapy waiting times are worse in Dublin than in the West. Differences in, say, you know, the breast, for example, getting access to the breast rapid access clinics. Rapid access clinic is where you have a cancer symptom. So a woman has gone to her GP with a lump or breast pain or another potential cancer symptom. Her GP has said that she needs to get a cancer test, that he's concerned about that symptom and wants to get it checked out. One out of four patients not getting into the rapid access clinic on time in that period, with seven out of 10 patients in the matter not getting in that period, and one patient in the matter waited 169 days after the GP telling her that she needed to be checked out.
And how was she after that?
Absolutely shocking. I don't have that lady's name. I don't know. I hope she's okay. It was on the figures. So the figures that we got gave average waiting times, and then it had the longest wait time per test. And for the matter, that was 169 days in that lady's case.
Are these all figures for public hospitals? And the reason I ask that, we were discussing private health insurance the other day, and the reason a lot of people pay for private health insurance is the expectation that if they do get a suggestion of cancer, that they'll get a quicker diagnosis and quicker treatment.
Yeah, look, and they will. So the rapid access clinics are all in the public hospitals. So they're not capturing, as far as I'm aware, the private piece. The figures that we have are for the public hospitals. We know that that's an issue. Look, and as I said, the figures we have are just breast, prostate and lung cancer, right, for the rapid access clinics. We know there are issues across cancer. So there are over 2,500 people waiting for an urgent colonoscopy to check if they have bowel cancer. And it was only about 1,300 2 years ago. So that number has gone up.
And how long might they be waiting?
And they're waiting over a month, which is the target time for an urgent colonoscopy.
And then within that time, the cancer can progress quite dramatically, can't
it? Absolutely. So actually, research that was published in the British Medical Journal showed that for every 4 weeks, the chances of dying from cancer can increase by 10%. Every 4 weeks that they can increase by that much. Now, it depends. Some cancers are much more aggressive than others. So prostate is a very slowly developing cancer. Things like lung, certain brain cancers would be much more aggressive. But on average, that is the figure. So that's quite shocking.
Okay, and there's a few things I just want to jump out at me from this. For example, that there are no PET scanners in public cancer centres in Galway, Waterford or Limerick. What's a PET scanner? Why is it important?
So a PET scanner, as I understand from talking to the oncologist, is it's necessary to get a proper staging for certain cancers before you perform treatment. So it gives them more information about the stage of the cancer, whether it's spreading, than you would get from a CT or an MRI. And in the West, you said they don't have them in those three public hospitals in Galway, Waterford and Limerick.
So not exactly basic equipment, but at the same time, equipment that can actually help enormously for the condition of the patient, and presumably as well, if they're worried about cost, it will actually probably help reduce costs, because the earlier you get to somebody, the better the outcome, not just from the health of the person, but to the cost of the state.
Absolutely. Look, and in some cases, so in Galway, I know that they're outsourcing it to the Galway Clinic, and they've spent millions outsourcing to the private sector to get people PET scans, but they're still not able to do it within the time frame. And Michael McCarthy, who's the head of the Irish Society of Medical Oncology, you've partnered with us on this. He's a consultant in Galway. EA said that in some cases, right, so you should have the PET scan to start the treatment. You don't have the PET scan, so you don't have an accurate picture of what exactly is going on with this person's cancer. But you still, you have to start them on the treatment. He said in some cases you're putting patients on treatment that may not be of benefit because their cancer is actually spread and you don't know. But you can't wait and not treat them in the meantime.
Do we also have a major issue with having enough people to provide the care? Does that feed into the delays in actually getting somebody in to be tested and then treated?
Yeah, so look, there are three issues. So for cancer services to work properly, you need three things. So you need staff, you need equipment, and you need physical space. And I know from speaking to oncologists in industry, every centre in Ireland over the last few weeks, pretty much all of them have a problem with one, some have a problem with two or more. And that's why we're seeing these issues. We'll say we were successful. I think I was in with you last year talking ahead of the budget. We did get significant additional investment last year. But we need to see that happen again and every year going forward, because Ireland already has the third highest rate of cancer mortality in Western Europe. And that's, and we know that in some areas, as we've heard like today, things are going backwards and that's just not acceptable.
A listener says, I'm waiting 8 months for a colonoscopy. I had a text message in March asking if I still wanted an appointment. I called at the beginning of June to be told it would be another 3 months. My auntie died of bowel cancer waiting for treatment. There should be a better system in place for people with symptoms to be seen within the time frame so treatment can be started. I have three young children. I am worried, and you're right to be, and hopefully you will get seen as quickly as possible. But we had recently, Avril, as well, we were talking about how emergency departments are sometimes, that the problems that they have is that various other departments in hospitals are not staffed at the weekend, so x-rays aren't done. Is cancer treatment done on a sort of a Monday to Friday basis, 9 to 5, unless you're already a patient in the hospital?
Traditionally it has been, although I know a lot of the hospitals have made changes themselves. So I know, for example, in Galway, they're doing blood tests on the Sunday so that people can start chemo on the Monday. So normally, previously, they would have done the blood test on Monday and only started the chemo on Tuesday. So they've changed that. There are staff working overtime. One of the challenges, Matt, is like, I know in many centres, staff are working overtime where they can, but there are so few staff that those same people can't do seven days, right? So of course, the service should be available throughout the week, but there's a huge deficit of staff. We've partnered today with the four main bodies representing cancer nurses, cancer doctors, radiologists, because we know that they're also being put in an impossible position, because it's devastating as a patient to be told, as people are being told in Galway, that you should start your treatment in 3 weeks, but actually it's going to be 8 weeks. But it's also awful for any doctor to have to break that news to their patient, because they know that the risk is increasing all the time, that person's cancer will grow or will spread.
Muireann McColgan is with us as well, co-founder of Too Young to be Heard. Muireann, thank you very much for joining us. Can you explain the name of your organisation, why you called it that?
Yeah, so me, Ziva and Niamh came together on Instagram. We were all kind of raising awareness separately. And we teamed up with Teresa Costello to work with her on her breast cancer campaign. So she invited us into the Dáil to a debate with the Minister for Health about breast cancer. And the three of us kind of sat there listening to over and over how everybody kept talking about, you know, early detection saving lives and how good the system was and how things were supposed to run. And the three of us were kind of sitting there, well, we're the perfect example of how things don't always go that way. And, you know, we all found our cancers early and it was a failure within the system that led to us being diagnosed late. So, you know, we kind of came together after that and we kind of thought, you know, no one's representing us out here. No one's representing young people's voices with breast cancer, with early onset breast cancer. So we came together and we formed Too Young to be Heard, and we were asking people to share their stories of early onset breast cancer with us. We're publishing them online to kind of give a face to a demographic that we feel is very overlooked and not listened to. So from that debate, we just didn't feel heard, and that's where the name came from.
So Muireann, can you tell us, please, your own experience?
So I found my lump when I was 31 weeks pregnant. I went to my GP and I was told it was mastitis and sent away. Luckily for me, a few weeks later, a midwife felt the lump and urged me to get a second opinion. So based on her kind of quick thinking. She got me into Vincent's, and I ended up being diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer 2 weeks after my baby was born in October 2023. So my delay was at the GP office as well, which is not something that was in the report, but it is significant as well. And the other two ladies had significant delays actually getting further diagnostics after their first day in the breast care clinic.
How are you?
I mean, just what can you do? You just have to carry on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing well. I have kind of cutting edge treatment, which I'm very thankful for, that allows me to live somewhat of a normal life. But I mean, you know, life will never really be normal again. So I feel like doing something like this is kind of, it's helping me cope, you know, it's a coping mechanism.
Because, Mirren, I can only imagine it must have been an incredible shock to find that out only 2 weeks after your baby had been born.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of postpartum delirious anyway. So it was all very surreal. And I think it took a long time for it to sink in and for it to feel real. And I think in some ways it kind of still doesn't. But look, I'm doing as well as you can in this situation. Like, I'm back to work now, my daughter's two, and I'm just living as well as I can with the disease.
Mirren, a lot of people say that the Irish health system works well once you start getting the treatment, that the doctors and nurses are excellent, that everything that can be done tends to be done, maybe with some exceptions, but that the problem is getting the access early enough, quickly enough. Would that be your understanding of how things are?
Yeah. I mean, I think once you're diagnosed, you're definitely in a better position in that you are kind of, you know, seen to. However, there's still issues. I mean, you know, even when you're stage 4 and you need scans every 3 months, say, to see how your treatment's working, you're still waiting a lot of the time. And, so, you know, sometimes you have to ring up and push for these things yourself, which is kind of the last thing you need when you're, you know, experiencing so much other things in your life because of the disease. And then you have to chase up scans and chase up prescriptions and things like that. It's all very chaotic, and if you drop the ball or you're not able to advocate for yourself, I feel like you will definitely fall through the cracks. Absolutely. You can see the frustration in there with the nurses and doctors. You know, I'm not saying it's their fault, obviously not. Everybody's stretched to their limits, really. You know, it's so busy in there.
And have you found that at times that maybe that appointments get cancelled by the state, not that you can't turn up, but suddenly that they're short of people to look after you?
That hasn't been my own experience now. But look, you know, we read women's stories or everybody's stories that they send to us in emails. And so reading some of the stuff is quite harrowing. I mean, there's everything in there. You know, there is somebody who has experienced all of this, and a lot of it is overlapping. So I think it's definitely better once you're in the system. There's still problems there, but I think especially for younger people, I think younger people are more likely to be turned away and marked non-urgent because of their age. And that's a real issue. So I think younger people are probably more likely to experience these significant delays. And we know that cancer is much more aggressive in younger people. So I think that is something that really needs to be looked at. I'm not sure in the report if it said anything about age, but I know definitely from the younger people that I talk to all the time and that we all talk to, we can see patterns there. And one of the patterns is, for sure, you're too young to have cancer. This is not urgent. And then that person goes away and ends up being diagnosed at a later stage or even advanced, like myself and Ziva, you know.
Mirren, listener here says, I found a lump in February, told the doctor in March. It took until May for me to get an appointment for somebody to literally say, yes, there's a lump. I was told that the earliest I might get a mammogram is September. If my lump is anything serious, I'll have lost 8 months of time where I could have been getting treatment. And by the way you're speaking there, Mirren, it sounds like you've had lots and lots of women get in contact with you and your colleagues and Too Young to Be Heard, that these type of stories are all over Ireland.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're all over the world, but in Ireland, yeah, for sure. Like, this is why we started this. We want to give these people a voice and an opportunity to come out and say, do you know what? This happened to me and it's not okay. So other people can see. It's very hard to understand what goes on in the cancer realm unless you actually have it. It's a totally different ball game. So I think the wider public who may not have experience of cancer might not know these things and how bad it is. So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to give people a voice so they can say, look, this happened, it's not good enough, and we want to inspire change. You know, we're going to share all these stories with the Minister for Health to kind of just put a face on it. You know, we're often ignored because we fall outside of the window. So we're just kind of, I feel like we're labeled as like tragic and rare. And yes, it is tragic and rare, but you know, we're still human beings with needs. And I do really feel like people are dismissed so much because of their age, and it's just not really right anymore with rates rising so much in younger people.
Mairean McColgan from Too Young to Be Heard, thank you for joining us. And Avril Parr, Chief Executive of the Irish Cancer Society.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.